I am constantly amazed at the providence of God. Not quite a year and a half ago, when John Hutchinson was here for the first time, I said to him I wanted to have him back for a weekend conference, and we set up a couple of dates, possibilities, and I chose this past weekend for him to come here, and I think we had a great time. I was encouraged by his ministry. I hope you were too. But it was a little bit after that. Usually it's right around this time of the year that I begin planning my preaching calendar for the coming year. And I sat down, I had his dates that he was going to be here, and I sat down and I waited on the Lord to move in my heart as to what he wanted me to preach. And as I went through the scriptures and started dividing things up, I knew that I would be preaching through the book of Ephesians. And usually I put my weeks of vacation in there just kind of as a block to take up the space. And by now I was supposed to have used up most of my vacation. I still have 2 weeks left that I haven't taken yet this year. And consequently, what I am preaching tonight really should not be originally was on my preaching calendar for 2 weeks from tonight. I'm ahead of schedule. And it works out providentially so well, because John spoke to us about the persecution of missionaries and Christians around the world. And the passage that we conclude with tonight in our study of the book of Ephesians basically deals with praying for missionaries. And I just see this going together as hand in glove type things. I guess it was no accident that I haven't been able to take my vacation and I have to preach on this tonight. Now maybe after I'm done preaching you might say I wish there had been an accident, I don't know, but we'll see about that later on. Nonetheless, Paul has been dealing in our last couple of studies with spiritual warfare. He identified the enemy a couple of lessons ago. The last time that we were here we were looking at the armament that we are to put on to, that we might be victorious in battle. And beginning at verse 18 tonight in Ephesians chapter 6, we find out how that warfare is to take place. I've titled this message, Our Prayer for Paul. Paul had listed two of his prayers for the Ephesians earlier in this epistle. Chapter 1, verses 15 through 23, he prayed that the Ephesians might basically have a knowledge of the person and the operation of God. And then later on in chapter 3, verses 13 through 19, he prayed that they might understand the greatness of God's power to accomplish his will. And now it's time in verse 19 particularly and 20, Paul is requesting prayer for himself. But the whole gist of this passage deals with a relationship between a church that's supporting him as a missionary and a missionary that's serving or representing this church out on the field. And I kind of want to pick up on what John left us with last week and of missions and missionaries and persecution and the spiritual battle that's going on. Couple of things that I think we absolutely need to know about this thing that will be helpful to us both privately as Christians and corporately as a church body here. Paul begins this way. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Paul is saying in this thing, as we put on this armor, as we face an enemy, we are to not just stand there and look good. There's a commercial on TV right now for Geico. Geico has some of the stupidest commercials, and this one is one of them. But they talk about how happy people are that switch to Geico and save hundreds of dollars for switching. And they usually show somebody doing something that's supposed to be very happy. And one of their commercials, they show a bodybuilder directing traffic. Have you seen that one? He's out there, you know, flexing all his muscles. He's looking good. They asked me if I would consider doing the commercial, but I said, no, I was busy, so. Anyway, when we put on the whole armor of God, it's not simply to look good. We put on the armor of God to go out to battle. And how is the battle to take place? Well, in verse 18, the battle takes place on the battleground of prayer. Paul says, when you get dressed up in this, I want you to be praying always with all prayer and supplication and in the Spirit and so on and so forth. That is how the enemy is defeated. I see these things on TV, and frankly, folks, there is not much on Christian TV that I really consider Christian. But you have these guys that are casting out demons and speaking words of authority and all that kind of stuff. You know what? That's not for us. That is for God. Our responsibility is to be communicating with God about the victory that needs to be won. There's a couple of things here in verse 18 that I want us to consider. First of all, the constancy of prayer. Look what it says here. Praying every once in a while. Praying Wednesday nights. Praying Sunday mornings. Praying always. Now that does not mean, obviously, that every single one of us has to be constantly on our knees 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in an act of prayer. God calls us to do a whole lot more than just praying. The praying always, though, is whenever there is an opportunity and need for prayer. Sometimes we get the idea that we can say to God, well, here's an issue in my life, God. I can handle this one all by myself. After all, I've got the armor on. I've got on here the belt of truth. But you know what? Truth apart from God is an argument. It's a good argument, but it's just an argument. I've got on here the breastplate of righteousness. But righteousness apart from God is bragging. You might be doing right, but in the eyes of other people, apart from the empowerment of God and the utilization of God, all that it is, well, there's a goody two-shoes. I have got, which is the one that I want here, the shield of faith. Oh, and I got lots of faith. My shield is really, really big. Do you know it doesn't really matter how much faith you have? Faith is never measured in quantity. It's measured in its object. Faith apart from asking God to do something is really just coincidence. Praying always. There is never an activity in life that we can say to God, oh, I can handle this one on my own. There's never a battle that we will face where the enemy is capable of being defeated by us alone. The enemy is always defeated as we are in communion, in conversation with God. Praying always. Constancy of prayer. Then there is the characteristic of prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Two different types of praying activity. The word prayer there has just the idea of ordinary, common type stuff. If you hang around me on a Wednesday night, and some of you are here regularly on a Wednesday night, and you hear me on a repeated basis, you will hear for things that I will pray for regularly. I don't know why it is, but whenever we break up into small groups, it seems like whatever group I'm in, that's the group that says the pastor goes last. I don't know if somehow I am low man on the totem pole or top man on the totem pole. I don't know which one it is, but I always get to go last. And because I'm always going last, I'm praying right before we dismiss. And one of the things I regularly will pray for is that in our travels to our homes, we might have safety, because right now, the deer are very active. Just the other day, Kristen killed Bambi. Now, I don't... that is something that, other than the Wadding's world, is not going to upset the balance of power. But it's something that obviously to you is very important. And I think it's very important to me and for most of us. And consequently, that's something that I will just regularly be in prayer about. There are recurring situations, the health of people. I see Bob's not here tonight. I take it, ran out of energy. Well, that'll do that too. My wife is still running out of air, probably after chasing me all over the place, but that's another story in and of itself. But she's struggling right now. We have those that are constantly struggling with health needs. Arlene? Oh, Blair's here tonight. Arlene came in tonight, and I don't want to pick on Arlene, but she wasn't running a race. And I asked her, if her and Blair were running a race right now, would there be a winner? Because they're both struggling with things. And now, Arlene's only 39, so this is not expected for her, but Blair's old. And you pray for those things. That's the idea of there are certain things here that are repetitive. There are certain things that are life and death situations that you are going to be praying more intently, and that's the supplications. There are times when the enemy is pressing in, and it's not just, okay, God, well, I'm coming back again, and here's this constant situation. This is, Lord, if you don't act quickly, something's going to happen, and it's not going to be good. And consequently, there's an intensity to your prayer. There is not only a constancy and a characteristic, there is a concern. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Prayer is always to be within the will of God. The Spirit of God will always direct us in the will of God for our prayers to God. I got to vent a little bit. I was looking at my Facebook page this afternoon, and one of my friends back in Lancaster County had a prayer request up on their Facebook page. Pray for her parents' cat. The cat wasn't acting correctly, and it means so much to her parents. Now, I am not saying that she was necessarily wrong in asking for prayer for her cat, but I've never seen her asking for prayer for the soul of a lost person. And I said to myself, you mean that cat is more important than a lost person? Something's out of balance there. The Spirit of God will always direct our hearts into the things of the will of God, especially the most important things. And may I say to you, and I am not wishing any ill will on this particular cat, although if I had my... No, I'm not going there. The health and welfare of a cat is not going to affect spiritual warfare, where the souls of men and women are in balance. Nonetheless, the concerns of prayer are those things within the will of God. The consideration of prayer In verse 18, he says this, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Watching thereunto. Not only are we to be looking to God for the answers that we need, but we're also to be looking from God for the answers that He gives. And we've been dealing with this on and off on various occasions. But it's the idea of thankfulness. If we ask God for something and God grants us that thing, isn't it our responsibility to go to Him in thanks? And yet, we just sometimes take it for granted. We have struggled with this on our prayer chain about people giving prayer chain requests, and we hear the request, but we never hear if the prayer is answered. And oftentimes we find ourselves praying for things that were answered 5 weeks ago. And for 5 weeks we should have been giving thanks and not asking God for this continued thing that He's already dealt with. The consideration of prayer is, okay, God, I've asked You for this. If it's within the will of God, I expect You to give it because You want Your will accomplished on earth as it is in heaven. And therefore, at a reasonable point in time, I should see something happening. And when I do, my responsibility then is to give You thanks for it. But until that time, I will persevere. I will hang in there. I will constantly be looking for Your answer. That, by the way, is called faith. Why is Paul requesting this prayer to be offered for them? May I say to you that the welfare of the missionary is directly tied to the welfare of the supporting churches and the individuals within that church. Think of it. If these Ephesian Christians were not going out and participating in the spiritual warfare that they're called to, and Satan was gaining an advantage within the church, what would happen to that church? Well, pretty soon it would be having all kinds of problems, and when it had all kinds of problems, there were going to be divisions and so forth. There might be church splits. The church might be closing its doors. And Paul, yes, learned to be sufficient or to be satisfied with what he was given. He learned that in certain circumstances he had to resort to his tent making to support himself. But the success of his ministry was his ability to be about preaching the Word of God without the distractions of supporting himself. And therefore, the churches that were sending him out, it was important that they be strong in the Lord because it would make him strong in the Lord. And therefore, he's saying, you guys get your act together. You keep the church at home strong. And the way to keep the church at home strong is to keep the individuals at the church at home strong in the Lord and winning the battles. Paul is saying that we need to communicate with God about the victory for us personally and corporately. Then, in verse 19, he says, and you communicate with God about victory for me. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul is asking for two specific things in his prayer. First of all, he is asking for the opportunity to speak appropriately. Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Well, in order to make known the mystery of the gospel, Paul has to know what the gospel is. Now, obviously, he knew the death, burial, and resurrection, that part of the gospel, but the gospel includes the entirety of the New Testament. And Paul is looking, and for me, that utterance may be given to me. In other words, that God would communicate to him everything that he needs to know, that he might communicate up to others everything that they needed to know. Now, we don't need to pray for biblical revelation anymore. God has given us His Word. That's final. It's there. We don't need more revelation. But we do need understanding of that revelation. And one of the things that we need to pray for our missionaries, if they are going to be effective in communicating the gospel, we need to be praying that they might be effective in understanding the entirety of the gospel, that they might have time to sit down and have Bible study their own, that the Spirit of God would communicate them and give them insight, illumine their minds to the understanding of the Word. And that way, when they're filled with the knowledge of God, they can go out and give it more effectively. Not only is he praying for an opportunity to speak appropriately, he then asks for an opportunity to pray or to speak boldly. How many of you are spiritual chickens when it comes to evangelism? I would much rather stand behind a lectern or a pulpit and preach to 5,000 people than to stand before one and personally talk to them about Christ. Now, usually it's the other way around. I'm more comfortable doing this. Paul was, I think, a little bit more comfortable doing this too. Stand up in front of crowds, but what he's praying for is boldness to speak in a way that when he communicated personally, he could communicate what he needs to communicate and in a manner he needs to communicate it. My son Matt was over this afternoon. We were trying to watch the football game. It wasn't on the local Fox channel. It was on the Altoona Fox channel. And I have a regular old TV antenna on my roof that when good old Comcast isn't carrying the game that I want to watch, I can usually get the Altoona Fox station. So I switch things around. And man, I plugged that antenna in this morning. I had perfect reception. And I thought, this was great. I'm going to be able to watch the game. And game time came on. I turned it on. All I had was snow all over the place. It was horrible. Anyway, that has nothing to do with my message. But we had this antenna wire coming in through the window. And consequently, with it being nice out this afternoon, the screen was up and everything. There was a couple up the street that were having a significant interpersonal problem. The language almost peeled the paint off the walls of the room in which we were in. I heard her saying to him, "You're going back to jail. You're high on heroin. Get away from me." And she was running, well, not running, but she was with her cell phone in her hand moving away from him. He had a baby carrier in his arm. And I'm thinking, what in the world is this guy doing if he's high on heroin holding on to this baby? And he came running after her. And I looked at Matt, Matt looked at me, and it was, do we need to get involved here? There are times when you will say to yourself, do I need to get involved here? And then you need to know what God would have you to do. There are times when you get involved and you need to say, okay, how much shall I get involved? What do I say to this person? Do I get in their face and confront them with their sin? Or do I put an arm around them and try to be encouraging to them? Do I take the turn and burn approach to evangelism, or do I try friendship evangelism? You have to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. And Paul is praying not only that he might know what to say, but how to say it. Because I suggest to you that how to say things is almost as important as what to say. God can cover up our inadequacies in our demeanor. He cannot cover up our inadequacies in the content of the message. But how we say it is almost as important. And consequently, we need to pray for our missionaries that they might be effective out on the field in their spiritual battles. But then there's another thing that we need to do. Verse 21. but that you may also know my affairs and how I do. I'm sending Tychicus to you. He's going to tell you everything that's going on in my life, and I want to know everything that's going on in your life. He'll come back and report to me. We not only need to communicate with God about our victories, we not only need to communicate with God about the missionaries' victory, we need to communicate with the missionaries about God's victories. What is encouraging to the missionary? That the church that's sending him and supporting him is winning the battles at home. For if the battles at home aren't being won, how's he going to win out on the field? If the congregation can't get it together and win the battles at home, how is one man going to be doing it all out there by himself? But if the congregation at home that's supporting him is winning the battles, he's encouraged to win the battles out there. And the congregation at home can know that if the minister that's out there on the field is winning the battles, hey, maybe we can do the same here. And the cause of Christ is encouraged by that. Victory after victory is won. And so we communicate back and forth and we encourage one another. And what does that do? Well, it makes us stronger at home. Verse 23. There will be peace within the congregation, and love and faith will increase from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been, I shouldn't say have you ever been, hopefully you've experienced it here, although I don't make much with altar calls or invitations as such, but you've been in a service where a person has trusted Christ as Savior and you say, oh boy, that was a bummer. Seems to me whenever that happens and you hear about spiritual victories that are going on, or there's someone who makes a dedication of their life to service, or they say, I'm putting away this sin in my life or something like that, the congregation goes, yeah, that's great. And this side isn't fighting with this side because he should have done it the day before or whatever the case. It increases the unity of the brethren. There is peace and there is love and there's an increase of faith and the grace of God is multiplied and the love of God is honored. And then, of course, that goes back to the missionary. Hey, that church at home is doing pretty good. And he's more bold to be witnessing out on the field. Let me ask you a question. What difference does it make to us personally? What's going on out in the field? What difference does it make to us personally what Frontline Missions is accomplishing in Ethiopia? Anything? Let me ask you a question, another question. Is the greatest threat from Ethiopia Al-Qaeda or any other one of those radical Islamic groups? Is that the greatest threat to you and I from Ethiopia? The answer is no, it's not. The answer to the question is of the greatest threat is the God that Al-Qaeda worships. Unknowingly to them, it's the devil. For you see, members of Al-Qaeda or Hamas or the Islamic Brotherhood or whatever groups are found in there, if the gospel is going forth, they might be enemies of us today, but tomorrow they could actually be a brother or sister in Christ. And when they are a brother or sister in Christ, I don't need to worry about what they're going to do to me. And consequently, the effectiveness of that missionary out there has a direct bearing upon you and I. Our greatest threat is not Ethiopia or Iran or Iraq or Sudan or any of the other countries that are Islamically controlled. Our greatest threat is the God who is over those countries. And there's the one who is our participant in spiritual warfare. Consequently, we need to be praying that we have victory at home. We need to be praying that we have victory on the field and communicating with those missionaries. And the battle's won. I want to encourage you tonight to consider your participation in missions. Now, usually in a missionary invitation is, oh, who's going to go, you know, leave their home and everything to go out on the field. I want to encourage you tonight to participate in missions by taking one of those missionaries there and sometime within the next week writing them a letter, saying that I'm praying for you. I want to know what's going on in your life. I want to share some things that God is doing in my life. And I want to encourage you to keep up the good work. We're standing behind you. We're lifting you up before the throne of grace. How can I pray for you? May I say to you that that will win a wonderful battle. And it's nothing that anybody else or anybody can't do in this assembly. You can get a postcard. You don't even have to make a letter, just a postcard. Just a quick note, thinking of you, how can I pray for you? It can be that simple. It might lead, ultimately, a person to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. It might even be a possible current enemy who will one day, tomorrow, be a brother or sister in Christ. Who knows? But God. Let's pray. Father, I wonder how many battles we lose. Even when we get all dressed up, because we simply don't pay enough attention to prayer. We simply don't consider communication with those away from us, or even those that are right around us, something that's important enough because, well, it doesn't affect us personally. And I think as we've seen tonight, it does. Father, help us to be prayer warriors on the battle lines where victory is promised. Lord, help us to lay hold of the grace of an almighty God and lift up our hands as Moses did with the support of Aaron and Hur, so that as the battle waged below with Joshua and the rest of the men, they shouted with shouts of victory. May that be ours. For the glory of God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good week.